Goodbye, Taylor. Goodbye, Ron and Dex. Bye, John. He wasn't sure why was his eyes wet. It was a weird feeling. He felt... What was it again? Oh, look! That nice woman is here! She had her eyes wet, too. Was it because of him? Oh, no. He didn't want to make her sad. Was she sad? He has to ask her. Ask what? Who? Oh, there is that nice woman. But something was wrong. Someone was missing. It's important. Come on, think. Oh, where is John? John! John was in pain. He was used to pain. He had been shot, stabbed, cut open, blown up. But this was different kind of pain. It was growing inside him, making him unable to sleep, and sometimes it made him gasp for air. It hurt in his chest, deep, deep inside, hidden from everybody else. He was watching his best friend slipping away. Every hour was worse than the previous. Every hour, another memory turned to dust. And there was nothing he could do about it. He stood outside of the isolation room, taking in deep breaths, eyes closed. Come on, John. You can do it. He put on a smile and went inside. Hey, buddy. Hey, John. That smile. The stabbing pain in Shepard's heart was back again. It was like someone was squishing his intestines and didn't want to let go, pinching him with needles in the process. How is it going? He asked, and forced himself to smile again. There was a pause. Rodney visibly struggled with finding the right words. Good, John, he finally answered. And that stupid smile again. And the eyes, without their usual intelligent spark. They were still crystal blue and beautiful, but the spark that made John melt before was almost gone. Shepard closed his own eyes for a brief moment. McKay reached for him. John, he purred. Yeah, buddy, I'm here. Shepard sat down on the nearby chair and let Rodney take his hand. John, McKay changed his tone, still smiling, eyes full of admiration. Oh, this is wrong. This is not like it was supposed to be. I'm good too, John answered the unspoken question. You're here, John? Rodney tightened his grip and buried his face to Colonel's elbow crease, still smiling. I have never left, Bud, and I never would. Shepard clenched and unclenched his teeth, focusing on steadying his breath. He didn't want to scare the man hugging his arm. The pain in his chest grew wider. But he ignored it. He had to be here, in this moment, for him. Love you, John. Rodney's eyes closed, but he didn't let go of Shepard's hand. Instead, he snuggled himself even closer to Shepard's chest, twisting Colonel's shirt in his hand in the process. I love you too, buddy. John breathed out quietly, putting his other hand to Rodney's hair, stroking him gently. Why him? Soon Rodney was asleep, taking deep, steady breaths. This is what Shepard always wanted, right? To be this close to McKay, to hug him, to hear him say those words. So why does it hurt so much? John felt tears begin to form in his hazel eyes. He tried to blink them away, because men don't cry. That's what his father always told him. They don't cry. They don't cry. You're a good friend, Arthur. He still wasn't sure if this was a good idea. It felt so wrong, so twisted. The shrine of Talos. One day with their old Rodney. One day with his old Rodney. And then? Then nothing. Just emptiness. Poof. Gone. Everything will be gone. Everything lost with his best friend dead. He tried not to think about it much. The decision to go there wasn't his. Jeannie wanted it. But that weird and creepy feeling was still on his mind, darkening his thoughts. He's going to lose him. For good. No more teasing. No more lemons. No more Teams movie nights. No more nights at the pier. No more chatting about nothing. No more genius saving the day in the last moments. And there is nothing he can do about it. Nothing to shoot. Nothing to scream at. Nothing to bargain with. Nothing. He landed the jumper, hopped off, and scanned the surroundings. He almost wished the wraith would appear so he can shoot something. Or maybe let them shoot him so he wouldn't have to deal with this pain anymore. But it was all clear. No wraith in the sky. They slowly made their way into the shrine. To watch his best friend get an open head surgery in the field definitely wasn't on his bucket list this year. But here they are, desperately trying everything to save their beloved friend, teammate, brother. He looked away as Jennifer used the drill to make a hole in Rodney's skull. They were back on Atlantis, alive. All of them, including McKay. Small miracle. John should have been relieved, right? He's got his friend back in one piece, more or less, minus the ugly parasite, of course. So, why is the pain still there? It didn't go away. It was still present. Throbbing in his head, burning in his chest, making his guts twist, causing nausea. He stopped counting the times he had thrown up this week. He stopped being hungry, because everything tastes like bland shit. But he forced himself to eat anyway, because weak soldier is a liability in the field, and that is unacceptable. Maybe there's something wrong with his body. Maybe he should visit the infirmary. Oh, hell no. He shook his head and had to chuckle. He would never go there willingly. That wasn't like him at all. But maybe some pills could fix his nauseated stomach. He was tired. Tired from the pain. Tired from the vomiting. Tired from the training and leading the military side of the city. And he was tired of avoiding McKay. He just couldn't look into his eyes without seeing the lost man he was just a week earlier. John still felt his hand touching him, gripping his arm, playing with the zipper of his jacket, patting his hair. He could still hear his name spoken through Rodney's lips. Oh shit, there's the feeling again. He tried to swallow the raising bile, but it was too late. He quickly scanned the corridor and fast walked to the nearest balcony, already heaving. You're avoiding me. Shepard closed his eyes and took a deep breath. Then he turned to face his friend with a nonchalant smile on his face. No, I'm not. McKay glared at him. Yeah, and I am Mary Poppins. You're avoiding me since the parasite incident. I want to know why. Well, hello, Mary. I'm serious. Rodney rolled his eyes and crossed his arms on the chest. Why are you avoiding me? I told you I'm not avoiding you, and I'm busy, so... Shepard tried to walk past McKay, but the blue-eyed man stepped in his way. This time, it was John's turn to glare. I'm not gonna let you go until you tell me what's wrong. Did I do something? Was I supposed to do something? Or what happened? McKay was nervous, but he was hiding it behind an angry glare. He missed his best friend, and he wasn't sure what happened between them during his second childhood episode, because he didn't remember much. The last thing he knew for sure was their time at the pier, drinking beer. He recalled himself demanding they say their goodbyes then, but he had a feeling that wasn't the reason this stubborn soldier was avoiding him. It's fine, John murmured, already feeling the nausea rising against his will. It's not fine,
Rodney blurted out, irritated. I said it's fine! John raised his voice and then immediately shut his mouth, releasing his mistake too late. Ha! McKay pointed a finger at his chest and poked him. It's not fine, because you are screaming, and that is everything but fine. So, what is it? Come on, spit it out!
Let it go, McKay!
Shepard growled and turned away, swallowing the nasty bile that made its way up once again. Rodney reached for his hand, almost instinctively, grabbed him. John froze at the spot. He slowly looked at their connected hands, and then raised his gaze to the other man, stunned. I'm sorry, Rodney breathed out. For what? Shepard wanted to spit out those words, but it came out as a whisper. His voice was failing him.
I don't know, almost dying? Again?
The scientist chuckled softly, holding back his previous anger. John felt his breath catch in the throat. The pain in his chest was getting unbearable. Maybe his chest would explode to a million pieces, relieving him from his misery. But Rodney was there, standing in front of him, holding his hand, anchoring him to the ground. Shepard felt his walls shake violently. Or maybe he himself was shaking. I thought that was it. He finally spoke quietly, letting his voice crack. I know, and I am sorry. McKay took a step closer. It wasn't your fault. It was my fault. I should have protected you. I shouldn't let you go on that mission. I should have taken you seriously. I messed up and it almost killed you. Shepard was still blaming himself. No, this one is not on you. It was stupid coincidence. Another thing trying to kill us in this goddamn galaxy. Don't blame yourself. I'm a grown man. I'm capable of taking care of myself. Almost every time. McKay smiled, trying to cheer up the other man. But John couldn't look into his blue eyes just yet. Yeah, but this time it was different. There was nothing I could do about it. You were losing yourself every day and I couldn't. He swallowed hard, feeling the stupid tears forming in his eyes again. He closed them, trying to calm himself. Men don't cry. Men don't cry. Men. But we figured it out. Rodney noticed the face change and took another step closer, not letting go of Shepard's hand. But if... McKay took the final step. He tried to pull John closer to him and Colonel led him. So Rodney brought the other man in his arms, gently but firmly. I thought I've lost you. John felt the damn tears in his eyes again. He couldn't hold them any longer. It's okay. I'm here now. I'm sorry. Shepard wasn't sure who he was apologizing to. Perhaps to his dad, or Rodney, or the thousands of people he let down in his life. Everything was suddenly so heavy. Something was definitely wrong with him. The pain increased once again and he gulped, trying to hold back the tears and push away the tension in his body. McKay didn't let him go. He never saw Shepard cry, but he knew that sometimes everyone needed to let go of emotions. To clean themselves of the pain and suffering.
It's okay to cry.
The blue-eyed man whispered softly in Colonel's ear, tightening his grip and closing his eyes. And John finally let go. He didn't remember the last time he cried. It was so long ago he couldn't recall the occasion. He went almost limp in the scientist's arms, ugly sobbing, letting the tears stream down his face. He didn't care about what would happen after this. He was feeling this moment deeply, lost in the other man's firm hug, smelling his scent, thinking about the events of the last week when he almost lost him. The warmness of the other body was nice. Rodney held him in his arms, whispering calming words. Because sometimes even the most tough men cry. And that was a good thing. It's okay to cry. Sometimes it's the best thing one can do.